Hello and a very good morning. You are listening to Market Minutes. I am Shailaja Mohapatra. Today is Friday, 31st of March, and we will be putting the spotlight on what happened in global markets when Indian markets were shut for a trading holiday. Lupin's Pithampur plant receives Form 483 from the US FDA. What does this mean? Why a mid-cap infra company, GR Infra Projects, should be on your radar? What was the one big announcement for retail investors from the SEBI board meet? And in Voice of the Day, we have Jaspreet Singh Arora of Research and Ranking, who is cautiously optimistic on new age tech stocks. Let's get started. Global markets more or less gained over the past two trading sessions as concerns eased over the banking crisis. In the United States, weekly jobless claims increased by 7,000 to 198,000, which was higher than street expectations. This added to hopes that Federal Reserve could slow down its rate tightening cycle soon because the labor market has started cooling down. The CBOE Volatility Index, which is Wall Street's preferred measure of how turbulent the S&P 500 will be over the next 30 days, pulled back to the 19 level after reaching 30 in the middle of March. Basically, the fear index is now back to where it was when the month began. Meanwhile, in Europe, retail sector stocks have been leading the markets as H&M reported a surprise profit in the first quarter. H&M shares jumped to a 10-month high after the fashion retailer reported a surprise operating profit due to a one-off gain from revaluation of its majority stake in second-hand resale platform Sellpy. H&M's cost-cutting measures have also started to bear fruits despite consumers curbing spending. These trends indicate that the sentiment for Indian equity markets also remains positive on the last trading day of the week and the month. Lupin has found itself on the receiving end of yet another FDA rebuke. It has received Form 483 with 10 observations for its Pithampur Unit 2 manufacturing facility. This comes only a few months after the company received a Form 483 with 8 observations for its Mandideep-based manufacturing facility. And prior to that, in October, the FDA had issued Form 483 with 5 observations for Lupin's injectable manufacturing facility at Nagpur. Now, what is a Form 483? If a facility has not followed the US health regulator's good manufacturing norms, then a Form 483 is given to a company's management. The US Food and Drug Administration's approval is necessary for Indian pharma companies because a large part of their revenue comes from the US market where they sell generics. This particular one, the Pithampur plant in Madhya Pradesh, holds a great significance for Lupin because this is where the company will manufacture the generic of Spiriva. Spiriva is a prescription drug or an inhaler that's used long term to improve breathing in people with certain conditions. It has limited competition in the US and it is a high margin product, which is why the D Street is keenly monitoring Spiriva's launch by Lupin in the US as it can improve the company's financials. Now, Lupin was planning the launch in quarter 4 of FY23, but that got pushed. The company has received priority review status from the US FDA with target action date now in April 2023 without plant inspection and in July 2023 with plant inspection. The current Form 483 has come for Pithampur's Unit 2 facility, while Unit 3 is where Spiriva will be manufactured. This was indicated by the management earlier in an earnings con call. So investors will have to wait and watch to see what could be the impact of this new FDA warning on the company's financials going forward. Meanwhile, the stock is already down 11% for 2023 so far. GR Infra Projects, which has a 9,000 crore of market cap, has constantly been in the news for the past few days. New order wins are coming in for the company every other day. If you look at 28th, 29th and 30th of March, you will find 6 exchange filings by the company, all related to new order wins. But one must be careful. Of the 6 filings, some are new order wins and the rest are letter of awards for the contracts already announced. These orders are coming in from various states like Karnataka, Maharashtra, Uttar Pradesh and Odisha. As of December end, the company's order book stood at 14,000 crore rupees. GR Infra's management has guided for overall order inflows of 15,000 crore rupees during FY23, driven by a strong order pipeline in the roads segment. With the back-to-back order wins, the company will easily cross this guidance in the quarter. The company is also bidding for projects under railways, transmission and ropeways, and it is not willing to take on projects where the margin is below 13%. That said, the company's Q3 performance was a muted one. Revenue and EBITDA margins missed street expectations and the stock has declined over 18% in 2023 so far. In fact, it is trading near its 52-week low of 930 rupees. But analysts are still bullish on the stock and the consensus target price is 1631 rupees. This represents an upside of 67% from the last closing price. SEBI's board meeting that was held on Wednesday, 29th of March, greenlit several new measures that are likely to be welcomed by retail investors. One measure for which more details are keenly awaited is the ASBA-like trade settlement mechanism under which stockbrokers will be able to deduct their brokerage directly with UPI-blocked funds of clients. Let's dive into some more details. ASBA, A-S-B-A, means application supported by blocked amount. This was already in place for the primary market, especially IPOs. It essentially means that a money will leave a client's account only when the trade is to be settled. So investors will be able to earn interest on the blocked amount in their bank account for any purchase made by them in the stock market till the time the transaction is actually settled. So it is great news for investors, but in a way bad news for brokers. Broking firms earn a significant amount of float income from the short-term funds lying in the accounts of their clients, most of whom are active traders. Now, that float income will reduce. As the framework gets implemented in a phased manner, it will be interesting to watch which brokers get on the bandwagon first and who will continue to resist. Meanwhile, for the regulator, it is a definite win as the possibility of another Karvi-like incident back when clients' money and shares were misused has now been completely eliminated. In today's Voice of the Day segment, we have Jaspreet Singh Arora, Chief Investment Officer of Research and Ranking. He feels new age tech stocks might be down but not out. A culmination of factors could trigger a rally in these stocks. What are they? Let's listen in.
Related to the new age tech space, at Research and Ranking, we are not as bearish as the market is on the new age tech companies, or you can also call the approach as cautiously optimistic. So a low single digit exposure to select companies may be suitable for high risk, long term investors. Let's look at some of the points why we are saying so. Point number one, there is a long-term opportunity across most new-age businesses, which remains fairly large within each of the segments. And all of them are growing between 30 to 40%. And some of the listed companies have a first-mover advantage or a very large dominant position in these segments. Point number two, the penetration rate is low. For example, in the online food space, only 4% of India orders food online, while 60% of the population has internet access. So the frequency of eating out or ordering in India is much lower at 4 times per month, while the global number is about 15 to 25 times per month. Similarly, in the online beauty and personal care space, the market penetration is low at 8%, while the same in global markets is between 20 and 30%. In the insurance space, the under-penetration is to the extent of 4% of GDP, which is the total premium versus GDP. While the global average is 7% and the developed countries' penetration is about 12%. Further, the online distribution market is further under-penetrated, as only 1% of the premium is getting sold online, while the same in China and US is about 6 to 13%. To summarize, the key drivers for new age tech companies is the increasing penetration, growing consumption from tier 2 and beyond markets, and rising disposable income and rising influence of social media. Point number 3 is the path to profitability has got even more reiterated. So the adjusted EBITDA, some companies have been targeting to break even by quarter 4 of FY23. Some companies are targeting by some quarter of next financial year, while some companies have already achieved that in the last quarter, well ahead of the timeline. So we need to remember, given the asset-light model and the minimal tax outgo, a very large part of the EBITDA in the coming years will flow down to net profits. And lastly, point number 4, the interest rates seem to be peaking out. So the interest rates are expected to go down 100 to 150 bips in calendar year 2024 and early 2025 globally. And this will make the cost of capital lower. To summarize everything, some part of 2024 calendar year, the clouds of high interest rates and recessionary fears will be behind us, while at the same time, NASDAQ should make a pullback, and so is the risk on trade. Same time, the new age tech companies should start showing quarterly profits. A culmination of all these will be a very strong trigger for this new age tech space.
That's all from us today. Stay tuned to moneycontrol.com for all your business news updates, and we'll catch you next week at the same time.